HMOs, which are sort of managed care and locally done, to fee-for-service plans. They have something called consumer-driven plans and high-deductible plans, which, as the name implies, you pay a higher deductible for the health plan, but you actually get money in a savings account, and some people wind up making more money than they pay out in premiums each year in this thing.
And I said it sort of in jest, but this is the opportunity for you to change things around. By and large, folks don't do anything, do they?
The vast majority of people do nothing, which is what we're all best at, inertia.
Right.
And the sad part is the retirees are the worst as far as not doing anything. Mm. Many of them retired 20 years ago. They're still on the same health plan. Yeah. It may have become completely irrelevant to their needs. It may be the premiums may be too high, but they just don't want to shop around and don't want
and
to
I
change.
And I think part of that is, part of it is, guess what? We're best at doing nothing, as you
exactly.
said. But part of it also is it's a little scary when you and it feels a little bit like Pandora's box. And if I open that up. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I open up all these things and it gets a little scary.
Sure. The one I have works and, you know, I'll just stick with it. And that's okay. The thing that Walton Francis, who writes the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide.
He's the guru
and he writes the insurance Bible every year. And the thing he says is they're all good plans.
Right.
So you can relax in that respect. You can't pick a bad one. What you can do though is pick a plan where you'll pay too much in premiums. He estimates that a family next year that picks the quote wrong plan, that is one that doesn't cover all their needs, will wind up paying $1,000 to $2,000 more than they should have had they done a little shopping, picked a lower premium plan that still meets their needs. And again, they have a wide variety of plans to choose from. The beauty of the federal health plan has always been it doesn't discriminate because of age, sex, race, retirement status, unlike the private sector. So it is the best program in America for health people. And now is the open season. And also people can look at changing their optional dental and their optional vision insurance.
So it's health benefits, it's vision, and dental.
That's
Those
right.
are the three
That's
things
right.
you can
the
think
flexible
about at this
spending
point.
Accounts and the FEGLI, the Federal Employee Group Life Insurance Program, are not involved in this open season. And primarily, I know OPM gets irritated when we focus on health premiums only, although this year it is mostly health insurance. But that's the big one. That's the one that 99% of the federal workers are in it, and the 1% that aren't should be in it.
And is this both career folks and politicals and military?
That's
is this
right.
military
it's, no, it's not military. The military have their own, the TRICARE thing in open season. But yeah, if you're a political appointee or a member of the House or the Senate or Senate staff, this is your open season, just like everybody else. Senator John Kerry pays the same premiums if he's in Blue Cross Standard as you pay if you're a young, healthy worker or if you're a 99-year-old federal worker.
He pays the
same premiums.
He can afford it a little bit more
he's
than
got
we
it made.
Can.
Yeah, he's probably going to skip tomorrow's call.
If that $1,500, he can probably – that's a rounding error.
So
and what do you suggest? I mean, first thing, we're going to be looking at this over the next weeks, 6 weeks. On your turn, you're going to walk people through this. So if this feels scary, this is a good primer for just getting up to speed and walking you through it. So if you're afraid of Pandora's box, what a great place to start.
Right. Listen to the show tomorrow, 10 o'clock. Walton Francis is my one and only guest. He's going to take questions by email, by phone. And also when he steps in the studio, I could leave. I could go to Starbucks for an hour because he knows this stuff better than anyone and all of the nuances to it. And there are a number of things. Like if you're a married federal couple, one of you is retired, one of you is still working, who should take the insurance?
Yeah.
Interesting question.
Yeah.
If you're a mixed marriage, as we say in D.C., one's a Fed, one's private sector, whose insurance should you take? Things like that.
Mixed marriage. Yeah. In D.C., it takes a whole different connotation.
Absolutely, yeah.
And all those questions, I mean, we're gonna have, and in fact, we have a whole page on the website where you can track all this stuff and a lot of frequently asked questions because there are a lot of questions that we get each and every year about this. If there's one piece of advice that you give folks during this period of time, it's at least look at it.
At least look at it. Don't fixate on premiums alone and consider the catastrophic benefit because if you have, God forbid, if you get cancer next year, if you need bypass surgery, if you step in front of a bus or fall off the metro, you're going to have catastrophic health bills and you want to look at the outer limits of what you will have to pay before your insurance kicks in.
And this is part of the thing. Sometimes younger people don't think about
exactly.
this stuff.
They're immortal. Yeah.
But this is, I mean, there are these accidents that happen and you need at least the catastrophic, and you can get catastrophic care. It's a pittance. It's not expensive at all.
No, it's not. And this is the limit that you'll have to pay out of pocket. In fact, this weekend on MacArthur Boulevard, I saw a very young biker being carried away. Young, healthy, you know, probably got a pulse beat of 50 degrees, but got hit by a car.
Yeah. And it's, and those things can just be ruinous to your financial life.
Absolutely. I believe the leading cause of bankruptcy in this country is medical bills. Yeah.